The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. It's FPC Radio Live. That's right, it's Thursday, September the 9th, 9-9. We have football tonight. That's right. Actual, real, meaningful, standing, impactful football to be played here tonight. And that's right, we have the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, against the defending, going to win it every single year, Dallas Cowboys, but never actually do. So I'm excited. I know you guys are excited. And what's most exciting is you don't have to look at my ugly mug on the entire screen. We got it split up here a little bit. So without further ado, though, I do want to welcome in my co-host here, Mr. John Sapichetti. John, how's it going, my friend? I know you're not on camera, but you are here.
Well, I may have to send you a picture so that we can fill that gap until we start doing it full video.
I'll find a picture for you that I think is well representative of who you are.
Well, I can send my one-year-old birthday picture, which has me. I still have it somehow, you know.
Well, looks like John was not long for being connected properly. So we're going to try to get him back on here in a minute. If he ends up dropping, we can certainly get him back here in just a moment. But no, it's Thursday. The NFL season kicks off today, the start of this 17-game season schedule that is being implemented for the first time this season, and it's pretty exciting. We're going to have, I think, okay, we have John back. we lost you for a second, but
here we go.
Fortunately for you, I'm a pro, and I was able to handle the little mishap that we had there.
Okay, you are.
Yeah, thanks, John. that wasn't a very enthusiastic agreeing, but...
it is! I'm agreeing.
Okay, good. No, what I'm trying to hype up here is that, hey, we actually have football today, and you know, I'm looking forward to the game. Obviously, you know, the Patriots, my personal preference of a team, don't play until Sunday, but this is the next best thing if you're a reasonable New England Patriots fan, and that is watching Tom Brady start his 22nd NFL season at age 44 tonight, and like he has done many times in the past, he's had the honor of playing in the first game of the season, which generally means, hey, you just won the Super Bowl. So let's put you in the forefront, and that's who he is. So I'm excited for tonight's game. I know I joked about the Cowboys, but you know the reality of it is they're getting Dak Prescott back. He's going to be playing. There was some doubt, obviously, you know, beginning of this year, earlier in this offseason, whether or not he was going to be ready to start the season after missing all but five games last year with an injury. It's going to be exciting to see him out there and, you know, kind of see what happens for the Cowboys in year two under Mike McCarthy, which, look, I know you're not the biggest Mike McCarthy fan, but, you know, this Dallas team, you know, they got talent, but at the end of the day, there's been a lot of teams over the last 25 plus years from Dallas that have talent and they still haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah. Their biggest star remains their owner, right? Jerry Jones.
Oh, for sure.
And without question, and he likes it that way. I love Jerry Jones. I think he's great for the league. He's a character, obviously. He's a marketing genius. I think he knows a fair amount about football. I do, and I think that makes him very dangerous. He has just enough knowledge to think he's an expert on football rather than handing over the reins to real football people, and that's why the Cowboys have spent the last 25 years essentially being mediocre. I mean, they're the Kardashians of the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. They're famous for being famous. So we'll see what happens tonight. The ratings will be through the roof because it's Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champs against America's team. Dallas still draws the best ratings in the NFL, and it's not even close. That's fine. I want to see what Dallas's defense looks like because they're going up against a lethal offense in Tampa Bay. We know Dan Quinn is their new defense coordinator. It should be an upgrade from Mike Nolan a year ago. But in two huge games against Dan Quinn defenses, we know what Tom Brady's done. The 10-point comeback victory over Seattle in one Super Bowl and the 28-3 deficit, which he came back from against the Atlanta Falcons. So he sees Dan Quinn on the other sideline, and I think he starts to salivate.
Well, and look, that's the biggest thing going into this season for the Cowboys is the defense. And like you said, it's going to be tested very early on because, well, I've been saying it for a while, and I think a lot of people are anticipating we're going to get the Bucs, you know, talking specifically offense here, we're going to get the Bucs team that we saw for essentially the last half of the season last year, where they very much mirrored a well-oiled machine New England offense led by Tom Brady in years past. And I think that's what you're going to get this season. Now, again, just like any other Tom Brady-led team, yeah, you know what? September might come with some I don't want to say stinkers, but you know how it is. Sometimes the adjustments don't come. Now, again, this isn't Bill Belichick. This isn't the Patriots. So, you know, it depends on what we're going to see here. But generally, sometimes, you know, offenses can start a little bit slower because it takes some time to get into rhythm. In this case, Chris Godwin's healthy. He was off the injury report after, finding himself on there. Antonio Brown, we talked about him yesterday. He's off the injury report. He's going to be healthy and good to go tonight. I just look at this team and say, well, Rob Gronkowski is like a, you know, I don't want a fourth option on this team. And I still think he's a very good, very dynamic tight end in this league, despite not being, you know, the guy that he used to be. So, yeah.
He could be the seventh option, Ian. You talked about those three wide receivers. OJ Howard is back. Mm-hmm. Year last year. We know what Gronk can do. Mm-hmm. They've also got Leonard Fournette, who did a great job in the postseason.
Giovanni Bernard.
They have a plethora of weapons. Giovanni Bernard, yeah. It's almost like Noah's Ark. It's like Brady has two of everything, in some cases, three or four. And then, oh, by the way, the offensive line is really good. He's got great symmetry with the coaching staff. And you know, obviously they allow him to do what he does. And they're going to be putting up at least 30 points per game, if not more. You know, you almost get like a base of 30 points per game, and they can only go up from there. I would expect Tampa, Kansas City, and Green Bay to all score 30 or more points per game. I think all three of those teams should score 500 points because they're all, you know, elite offenses. And, oh, by the way, they have the three best quarterbacks in the sport. So I expect Tampa Bay. It almost feels like they're going to start every game that you could guarantee that they're going to score 30 or more points. And against this Dallas defense, which should be better than a year ago because it was god-awful last year, was historically bad. I think they'll be, you know, mid to high 30s without much breaking of a sweat, although it should be fairly hot in Tampa tonight.
Well, and here's the thing. I'll relate this back to how, you know, my tired versus wired argument, you know, the tired defense wins championships, wired offense wins championships. And as great as a defense is, and Dallas, like you said, is not a great defense. A great offense is always going to trump a great defense. Yeah, we've seen it from obviously not just Tom Brady and you know the Bucs and / the Patriots, but we've seen it from other great quarterbacks too. So, you know, when people sit there and say, "Oh, you know, well they got this top ranked defense, they got this top ranked defense, they got this rank," I don't care. You know, I'm like looking, okay, what's the offense? Oh, you have Tom Brady, you have Chris Godwin, you have Mike Evans, you have Antonio Brown, yada yada yada. I'm taking the offense every single time. I don't care who in this NFL. I don't care who is lining up on defense. I don't care if you pick every All Pro defensive player in the league and put him on one defensive team. I just don't care, and that's how I'm going to view it. And hopefully, it looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with John's connection here, so I'm going to try to get him back in just a moment. The biggest advantage the Bucs have is having Tom Brady, and that is something. John, do we got you there?
Yeah, it kind of kicked out. I got a couple of technical issues I'm going to have to resolve to do what we want to do, but this is the next best option.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as we can still see, hear you, the folks will just have to put up with my face covering the whole screen.
That's
but,
okay. You're a handsome dude.
I try. You know, thank God for camera filters because it definitely makes me a lot more appealing to the masses. But what I was saying was offense is always going to trump the defense. I don't care who you have. I don't care if you pick all the all-pro defenders in any given year and just put them on a team together. Give me the elite offense, and I'll take that every single day. So in this case, you're not dealing with an elite defense. You're not dealing with an all-pro defense. You're dealing with a mediocre one in Dallas. So, yeah, Cowboys fans are excited now. Talk to me at, what, 8:45, about halfway through the first quarter? You know, how are they going to be feeling then? Because, I have a feeling this team, and I'm talking about the Bucks. I get the feeling that they're just offensively, specifically, because again, I've watched Tom Brady operate for many years, and I know what he's capable of doing. And what I see, the potential of what I see is, like you said, an all-time great offense. And I think it gets started right away. You know, think 2007 New England Patriots offense. That didn't really take long to get going.
Yeah, and this one could be better. We talked about that yesterday, partly because I think they just have more weapons than they had in 2007. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brady mentally is even better than he was in 2007. Also just factor in, remember that offense towards the end of the regular season and even into the playoffs was not all that great. They had the great win to finish off 16-0, 38-35 over the Giants in week 17. But leading up to that, they had struggled against the Jets and Miami in home games, and the weather had something to do with that. Well, one thing you don't have to worry about in Tampa is the weather. You know, we've always talked about the Manning and Brady comparisons, and Manning got to play in a dome, and Brady had to play in inclement weather quite a bit, windy conditions at Gillette Stadium. So now he's playing in great climate. It's not a dome, but for the most part, those games are going to be played in really comfortable conditions. Occasionally, you'll have that big rainstorm before or during a game, whatever it may be. But that may factor in too. That helps. That he's going to be playing his home games in really good weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny now to think about some of the idea of with the Patriots going down to Miami in the early part of the year when it was hot and humid and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. Brady can't play. Well, no, I think he's just fine with the heat. I mean, it takes a little bit to get used to down here. If you live down here and you spend a lot of time down here, then of course you're going to acclimate to it far better than someone that's coming from a cold climate. Because yeah, it is humid, especially this mm-hmm. time of year, August, September. It's hurricane season. We get a lot of rain and the rest of the time is just humid and hot. So, tonight getting to play the game at night, opening the season off, raising the banner. I think that's obviously, teams don't need that motivation. Championship teams don't need motivation like that, but it is motivating. And mm-hmm. it's going to get these guys fired up even more so than what they normally would be. And look, I mean, at the end of the day, Dallas just isn't good enough. We briefly mentioned it yesterday that, they could win the division. It may be Washington. Really it's probably between those two teams right now. If they win the division, yeah, maybe they're 10-7. You know what I mean? A 10-7 for the Cowboys to me is right about where I'd probably put them. And that's kind of, I don't know, the ceiling. I mean, I like Dak Prescott. I mean, I like Amari Cooper. Jerry Jeudy is going to be nice. But I don't know. I just don't see them, A, competing tonight, or B, competing really with the elite NFC teams right now, including the Buccaneers.
Certainly the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers, Packers, Rams, and maybe the Seahawks should be the four best teams in the NFC this year. I mean, because you look at Washington, which along with Dallas, they're the co-favorites to win the NFC East. If you could combine Washington's defense with Dallas's offense, now you'd have a contending team. Unfortunately, you can't do that. So, when you have a unit that is not that good, is really, bottom eight in the league, the 25 percentile, like Dallas's defense and Washington's offense, you're going to get exposed at some point, right, during the regular season, or you make it into the playoffs. Whereas a team like Tampa's solid on both sides of the ball. I think the Rams are as well. I think Green Bay has a good defense. And I think Seattle, is a team that can certainly factor in there. I know people like to bring up San Francisco as well. But, since Kyle Shanahan's been there, they've won, had a winning record in one season. So before we put him in the Hall of Fame, let's see more. But, yeah, I mean, I
can't see Dallas being on the same field. Well, how close has he been to Sean McVay, though? What proximity has that's he been true. To Sean McVay? Because that could help his Hall of Fame choice.
They worked together. Yeah.
Yes,
Matt
that's
LaFleur,
right.
too. You know?
That's right.
The three of them were all in Washington. That's a pretty good group there. I mean, they've all done a good job. It made sense that Green Bay went to the Super Bowl last year because it was, you know, McVay at 18 and then it was Shanahan at 19. So the normal order would have been LaFleur going in 20 and –
except Tom Brady had to go screw that all up
and go to the NFC. Oh, man, you know, I can't tell you how bad we were doing the show together back then. I'm like, when Tampa was playing New Orleans in the divisional round, I'm like, just could you please eliminate him at this point? Because New Orleans is not going to go up to Lambeau and beat the Packers.
No, God,
Drew Brees with that pop gun arm. They were not going to win it. Rodgers, I think, owns them. And I'm like, oh, God, he won, and he's going to Green Bay, and this is not going to end well. You know, I just had there was a pit in my stomach. But new season starting, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, this offense for Tampa is just, man. And he just – he's playing with a lot of joy, isn't he? Like, his last year in New England, it seemed he was miserable. He didn't have, you know, the weapons around him, and I think that the relationship was deteriorated at that point with Belichick. And, look, if you're in a place for 20 years, you probably get – stale at some point.
He's playing with
a lot of joy right now. Like he looks like he's having the time of his life out there.
And not to mention, and a lot of people don't, you know, talk about this because, oh, woe is me, the Patriots. Oh, poor Patriots went to three straight Super Bowls. But that is, in and of itself, a difficult thing to do. You know, in terms, obviously, to accomplish, but just to manage. I mean, your team... that it for three straight seasons, we talk about this a lot in other leagues, you know, you have that extended, you know, Belichick has said it all the time, they always started behind because they ended their season so late, and there's truth to that. And, you know, mentally, you know, after that, you know, that three Super Bowl run where it's like really the last one was a, you know, really scratch and claw their way through with some really tough games. You know, they, you know, say what you want to say about Jacksonville, but, you know, they were the top defense that season. And, you know, that was a tough game for the Patriots. Brady had that gash in his hand, which I still to this day don't understand how he could throw a football and throw it as well as he did with that. But, you know, that's beside the point. They were just worn out. And, you know, add on the fact that all the things that happened during that 2019 season, it was just the other day, the anniversary of Antonio Brown signing with the Patriots 2 years ago.
Right.
And, we have that one photo that for about 2 days or a day and a half was incredible to look at. You had Tom Brady sitting with Edelman, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, and I think Philip Dorsett, and like, I mean, it was just, you're looking at it, it's like, and it's an embarrassment of riches. But it wasn't much longer after that that many of those players just weren't there anymore, and it just became a long season with injuries and all that stuff. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. And, like, you know, a lot of people, oh, like, you got knocked out by the Titans. Well, you know, this team literally just came off three straight Super Bowls and NFC or a 2-point conversion away from five straight. So, yeah, guess what? Sometimes you just wear out. And to your point, I think I think it was a combination of everything. I don't want to put too much on the relationship. I think it was just, you know, kind of like what we said. It was time to move on. It was time to, you know, just go their separate ways. And I think the combination of that and just, you know, having that off season removed, that full season removed from those Super Bowl runs, really gave him that extra time to rest and relax and get into a new place. And you know what? Sometimes you got to do that. You got to switch things up. 20 years in the same place, it gets a little stale after a while. Even when you're winning championships all the time. So I just, you know,
he's played essentially three full seasons of playoff games.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What is he?
So another 3 years. So we've talked about, like, Derek Jeter's played like another season and a half of baseball in the postseason. LeBron's played like three full seasons in the postseason. LeBron went to 8 straight finals. You know, just think about that. That's insane. As great as Jordan was, he went to 3 straight finals and then took a couple of years off and then went to 3 more and then retired for the second time and came back 3 years later and never sniffed the finals with Washington. But the point's well taken that, in, especially in football, where there's so much physical and mental demand, that you're ending your season in early February, where other teams end it in late December. They get a head start on you in terms of rehabbing any injuries, conditioning, tweaking the coaching staff, and then, you know, oftentimes the teams that go to the Super Bowl are losing a coordinator or a positional coach, and it makes it all that more difficult. No, I mean, and look, didn't Tennessee the next week go out and beat a 14-2 Baltimore team pretty handily, and played pretty well in the first half against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game till they just got obliterated in the second half, like Kansas City did pretty much that entire postseason to every opponent. But yeah, I mean, if that's the low point of the last 10 years for Tom Brady, you know, most quarterbacks will take that.
Yeah.
12 and 4 lose out in the wild card round, like, you know, Kirk Cousins, that's like his ceiling.
That's yeah, that might be a stretch,
and
too.
Yeah, but he actually hasn't really attained that, and he's making $32 million a year, and he's got a crazy father, and he seems to be just as crazy as the father. But I mean, if that's the thing, then so be it, you know. But this offense looks like it's going to be pretty much unstoppable. I the only way to stop them is put pressure on Brady, and he's so good at avoiding pressure and making sure that his offensive line's in the right spot and getting rid of the ball quickly that you really never get many clean shots on the guy. So that's really the recipe to get him off his spot in the pocket, make him feel uncomfortable, you know, easier said than done.
Yeah, because, again, I mean, people, you know, we've been dealing with this all offseason, you know, the hypothetical, well, if Brady was in Kansas in Patrick Mahomes' position in the Super Bowl, he would have done a lot better because he wouldn't have, one, he wouldn't have been running around like he would be, and two, he has a much better grasp of how to handle things prior to the ball being snapped. You know, i.e. Identifying where the pressure is going to come from, where the adjustments need to be made. And that's just something that Patrick Mahomes just can't do right now. You know, how good he gets at that, we'll see. We'll see how he, you know, he evolves as a quarterback and how he ages and gets better. But, you know, no one's better at that than Tom. So, you know, if you put Tom, you know, as quarterback of the Chiefs, well, look, I'm going to say they would have won the game because that's how much I believe, obviously, in Brady's ability and impact. But, you know, there's a reason why he, for his entire career, for being as, quote-unquote, immobile as he's been, he's never been a high sack guy, which goes against anything you would think based on the narrative that people talk about. Oh, he can't move. Well, then why doesn't he get sacked a lot? You mentioned the Seahawks earlier as one of the contenders. I don't put him in as a contender. You know why? Because Russell Wilson's getting sacked 50 times a season.
He runs into a lot of sacks.
I don't care how talented you are, how good your defense is. If your quarterback's getting sacked 50 times, you are not winning a Super Bowl. And you're not going far in the playoffs. And
well, we kind of saw something, you know, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, Ian, where a quarterback had a depleted offensive line. He still put up 26 points against Tampa Bay, and that was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, they sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times in that game. That pass rush was hellacious in that game, and he was playing from behind as well. And, look, he should have played better. If he had played better, they probably win that NFC Championship game. But at least he put 26 on the board. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes put 9 on the board while they were both facing hellacious pass rushes with a depleted offensive line. So, again, this was almost like the first time Mahomes was ever uncomfortable in a game, and he didn't handle it all that well. You know, that's where you really find out what a quarterback is when he's on his backside a lot and being harassed and not able to do what he wants to do. Now you have to make those adjustments, and these veteran quarterbacks are much better at that than Mahomes is right now. I mean, he can get to that level, and if he does, look out. But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, I mean, fortunately for, you know, well, unfortunately, I guess, for Aaron Rodgers, Bakhtiari is going to be out for the first 6 weeks. But fortunately for them, they do have a pretty solid offensive line. And that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, the thing is like people have been talking about the Kansas City one. It's like, oh, he's lost all his line. I love that take because I always come back with like the little response of they didn't play with any linemen. I could have sworn I saw five of them out there.
They didn't have them.
And it's like, look, if you find the need to exaggerate your point a little bit, then you don't really have a point. So don't tell me that he was down 4 starting offensive linemen when they only lost 1 between the AFC Championship game.
Right.
And the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, sure, it's not ideal. Definitely not. You know what else isn't ideal? Brian Stork tipping snaps and letting Denver tee off on the Patriots offensive line that was struggling. Like, there are situations like that all the time in football, whether it's injuries, whether it's poor play, whether it's whatever. Like, you have to overcome it. And to your point, you know, when your back's up against the wall as a quarterback, how you respond is really, I think, you know, where you make your, you know, that's what makes you great versus being very good. And, you know, obviously there's levels of greatness because, well, if you do it all the time and you constantly perform at the highest level in the biggest, highest pressure situations, well, guess what? You're a pretty damn good player. And for as great as, say, Mahomes has been, there's a couple, I don't want to call them red flags. But again, I'm building a reputation as being a very harsh grader of Patrick Mahomes' play. But, you know, I've been kind of forced to do this, John. You know why? Because we've had to forcefully had to have these conversations about Brady versus Mahomes or Mahomes versus Rodgers and so on and so forth. So guess what? I got to nitpick a little bit here. And I see some red flags. Like you said, the pressure, the first time really feeling the pressure. Definitely got a failing grade on this one. Doesn't mean it was all his fault. I mean, that's the common misunderstanding that people have. It's his fault, sure, but it's also others' fault. Sure, why not? But it's the quarterback, and they have the biggest hand in how a team performs. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you want to hammer home it's a team sport. I know it's a team sport. It's football. Like, you go to, like, Dick's Sporting Goods, guess what? Football stuff is under the team sport section. We get it. You don't have to remind everyone that football is a team sport. It doesn't change, you know, the point that's being made, and that is the quarterback has the biggest hand in winning and losing, and it's been like that for a long time in the NFL. And
it appears to me that in that Super Bowl that Andy Reid skated without a lot of criticism because people love Andy Reid, right? I mean,
oh, sure.
He's your uncle that comes over at Thanksgiving and brings presents and gives you big hugs and is kind of the cool old quirky uncle. Everyone loves Andy Reid.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirts, all like that stuff.
Yeah, the great stuff. I mean, he looks like Wilford Brimley a little bit. So, but why didn't they run the football more in that game? Because, you know, Tampa was playing a lot of cover two, inviting them to run. And they didn't take advantage of that. When they did run, they averaged over 5 yards a carry. So it was almost like, well, I'm going to win the way I want to win rather than, well, they're giving us this, so let's take advantage of this. First of all, you're moving the chains. Then you're taking pressure up your quarterback. You're scoring points, and you keep Tom Brady off the field. I so much of that Super Bowl falls on Andy Reid as well. And as a team just, you know, once they got behind, and a team that's comfortable playing from behind just was out of its mind at that point. And, you know, Mahomes is to blame, Andy Reid and you know, Travis Kelce and the rest of them, you know, just didn't show up big time, and Tampa Bay was clearly the better team that day.
Yeah, and look, let's be fair. I mean, you know, as many comebacks as, yeah, this is you're not playing Bill O'Brien in the Texans.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
The Texans are one of my favorite punching bags whenever I get to come on and talk, you know, about the NFL. And, you know, that game, that playoff game against the Chiefs where they just so I mean, people want to talk about, oh, you know, Atlanta choked that away more than the Patriots won that. So, no, I mean, look, obviously mistakes had to be made on Atlanta's part and there's had to be some misplay on their part. But, you know, the Patriots did what they had to do. Houston decided that up 24 points deep in their own zone, fourth and like middle of the, you know, what was it, 5 or 6 yards? Oh, we're going to go for it. Oh, that's a great play. No. And the second they did that, it was just like, all right, that's bad coaching. That is, I mean, people want to sit there and, you know, I have seen people blame Andy Reid, mostly the real hardcore Mahomes defenders. And he definitely deserves some of the criticism. I mean, everyone on that team does because they got handled so poorly. But like I said, just like it's always been, thank you, Kyle. Fourth and one, but it was still a terrible decision. It was probably that play was fourth and one. It was still a terrible decision, though. I mean, it was probably one of the worst coaching decisions I can remember in the last 10 years.
If on fourth and one you want to go for it, just go for it with Deshaun Watson.
Well, don't go for it at all. They're up 24 to nothing in, like, what was it, the second quarter? Like,
it was the second quarter, yeah. I mean, and Kansas City went on and scored 51 points in the final three quarters, which almost doesn't seem possible,
right? Well, again, I mean that doesn't happen if Houston doesn't decide to do what they do. So it's like, well, you know, to me, like, and this is kind of, you know, this, I like this too, because this kind of jumps back at analytical people, because, you know, the hardcore analytics are like, go for it every time on fourth and one. No, no, it's not how football works. It's to your point, and Kyle's really on top of it today. I can't even keep up with his points that he's sending in on YouTube, but he says, I like that point, John, too. You know, how do you trust your special teams more than Deshaun Watson? Like, if you were going to go for it, if it was going to be a smart decision, do exactly what you said. Give the ball to Deshaun Watson. Let him do it. Let him make the play. And if you don't, well, so be it. But bottom line, I thought it was a terrible decision that literally just handed that game to Kansas City. Because, you know,
That was a bizarre game. One of the strangest games I think I've ever seen. I mean, 24-0. And then I think the final was what, 51-31?
Yeah.
I mean, they outscored them 51-7 over the final. That sounds like, you know, Oklahoma versus whoever, pick a team from the Big 12 that they slaughter.
Look, that was a demoralizing play that, like, you could just see. The Texans side, I mean, you could just see that kill every bit of momentum they had in that game. And that was, you know, that again was.
They never recovered from that. I mean, they traded DeAndre Hopkins for a second round pick, which has got to be one of the five or six worst trades in NFL history. Bill O'Brien lasted, what, four games? Now he's gone to Alabama where he's going to resurrect his career. That seems to be the place to go. Go become offensive coordinator for 1 year at Alabama and you'll get a gig somewhere, whether it be college in the pros and you know, the piece of the greatness of Nick Saban. But that was just a one strange game. But yeah, you gotta look at this game tonight and you get the feeling it might be a shootout, but we've talked about what Dallas can do to try to slow down Tampa, and there's really not much unless they can put some pressure on Brady, and they're not a really good pass rushing team. Like, Dallas has, I think, a very talented offense, but they don't have their best offensive lineman tonight in Zach Martin. But how are they going to match points? I mean, as good as their offense is, how do you match points against that Tampa defense? So you're kind of like at a loss on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is in a situation where, I mean, you know, Dallas's offense can be great. I mean, I really like Dak Prescott. I like some of their pieces. But, you know, much like the NFC Championship game, and not to keep bringing that up, sorry both you and Kyle, but that game, if you really want to get, that was one in the first drive, because, and this is something that, again, you can't, you know, these are things that just don't get factored in and greatness, all that stuff. I can't remember exactly what the drive was for the Packers, but obviously it didn't really amount to anything. And the Bucs went right down, first drive, set the tone, scored a touchdown, and that was that. How many times have we seen that from the Patriots?
Yeah, I think, all the time. Tampa got the opening kickoff, and they just marched down the field. They just went after Kevin King, which was the guy that Brady and the coaching staff decided was going to be the guy they went after, because when they went to Jaire Alexander, it was not with good results. I think that kid is one of the most underrated players in all
easily.
Football, Jaire Alexander. He may be the best cornerback. I mean, I know we all talk about Jalen Ramsey as a future Hall of Famer and all that, but Jaire Alexander is the real deal. But yeah, right away, Tampa exposed Kevin King, a player that I could have told you before the game is, you know, at best a third corner, not a second corner, but they exposed him and went down the field. Yeah, and it was 7-0 right away, and now you're playing from behind. And one of Rodgers' Achilles' heels is he doesn't play great from behind.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He's better as a front runner than a guy coming from behind. So right away, you're in a hole, and then, you know, they turn the ball over at the end of the second quarter and the first drive of the third quarter, and before you know it, it's 28-10. And look, they made a game of it, so I give them credit for that, and they almost pulled it out. But, yeah, no, that first drive by Tampa Bay was classic Brady. You know, we've seen that, except in Super Bowls. For some reason, the Patriots with Brady and Belichick can't score in the first quarter. They've kicked one field goal, Ian, in nine games together. Isn't that crazy?
That's such an absurd stat. Every time, like, obviously, I know that stat and I know that, but every time it gets said on every Super Bowl that they play in, it just, it does. It just, like, I sit there and I think, how is that possible? But, you know, there's always going to be some quirky stats in for teams that Brady's on, because again, I mean, they've had so much success, you're always going to find something that's going to
stretch. It's a large sample size, right? I mean, yeah, you got nine Super Bowls. You got data. It's not like guys that went to one. You know, one guy goes to nine Super Bowls. There's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah, and almost you're over, you know, in years past, you're over halfway, you know, through a regular season. That's a pretty damn good sample size. You're getting into November at that point, you know,
right?
And
yeah,
like in terms of NFL season timeline. So, no, I think we're pretty consistent, at least when it comes to the NFC, who we think the top teams are going to be. And I you know, really, I think it's honestly, I think it's Tampa and Green Bay, and then I think there's a pretty big gap, because again, I know. Look, Russell Wilson is going to be the MVP through the first 8 weeks of the season. That's just how it is. Right. The weather's nice. Like, offense is a little bit more fluid. It's like they got the advantage over the defense early on. Got all that stuff, and they're going to look great. And people are going to be like, oh, it's Russell Wilson this, Russell Wilson that. Well, at the end of the year, he's not going to get a single MVP vote. You know why? Because he's going to get sacked 50 times again. And again, it's not all on the offensive line. Sacks are, I don't want to say just as much, because again, this is situation by situation. Like, not every sack is created equal. I mean, obviously there are many factors that go into it, but for the most part, it's almost a 50-50 split in responsibility, you know, between, you know, the blockers and the quarterback. Like, you know, as the quarterback, you have to understand whether, you know, if the rush is coming, sometimes there's nothing the offensive line can do about it. You got to make sure as a quarterback, you get rid of the ball. And Russell Wilson doesn't do that. And as you mentioned earlier, he runs into sacks sometimes. And that's something that we saw from, you know, guys like Mahomes. And, you know, like you said, sometimes Rodgers is guilty of doing that as well, because
he will hold the ball a little too long at times. I think last year he was much better.
He was much, much, much better at that.
Yeah, which I think explains. I'm watching him last year, I'm like, man, if he just could have had this offensive mind with him his entire career. And look, Mike McCarthy at one point was a good play caller. He was, but he just started to, like, the game passed him by at some point. And but if Rodgers had played with a really creative offensive mind, you know, would he won more Super Bowls? I'm not going to go there. That's a whole different discussion. But you could see that it's a quarterback-friendly offense. That's why I'm actually – I know we're talking about Tampa and Green Bay. My NFC champion is going to be the Rams. And I know that sounds kind of foolish, because who the hell is going to beat Tampa? But the Rams did beat them last year. I think they have somewhat the right mix to maybe bother Brady. Mm-hmm. Not shut him down, not hold him to 14 points. But you got Aaron Donald, you've got Jalen Ramsey, they got a really talented defense. And I think Matt Stafford's primed for a huge year. He's the one player that we're going into this year that some of us are saying, yeah, he's going to be the MVP and have a great year. And then other people are like, well, he's Matt Stafford, he's going to screw up at some point. But I actually like the Rams in the NFC.
No, I like the Rams too. And I do. I like Matt Stafford, although, again, I think it's such a fine line. And there's so little margin for error as a quarterback, especially in this NFL, especially when you're competing with guys like Brady and Rodgers, who you know they're not going to turn. And now, again, I say that, and this is coming off an NFC championship game where Brady threw three picks. But again, that's an outlier. You know, this is an annoying, you know, he threw three picks in four playoff games. It just happened to come in a 10-minute game time span. In the NFC Championship game. Like I said, that accounted for 0.03% of the entire time that they played football during the playoffs. So again, I chalk that up as an aberration. It's not going to happen. So Rodgers, Brady.
Don't go into a game expecting Brady or Rodgers to turn it over. Nope. They just don't. They don't. That's what makes them extraordinary.
And not that I expect Matt Stafford to do it. I just feel like all he has to do is make one mistake. One, you know, gunslinger, I'm going to try to make a play mistake, and that's all it takes.
Yeah.
So to me, I like the Rams. I like their defense. I think Matt Stafford over Jared Goff is a huge upgrade.
Yep.
I still think that there's a pretty significant gap. Right now, again, things can change because we don't know. We haven't seen anything yet. So I'm basing this off of, you know, unknowing, and I try to not project too much, because I hate the hypotheticals, because I think that's a slippery slope you get down, because you can sit there and say, oh, well, this, and then we're like, wait a minute, we're, you know, 90% of what we just talked about just is fictional, so what's the point in discussing it? So I try to take a pretty reasonable approach. I know what I get from Tom Brady. There's no doubt in my mind. This isn't projecting. This isn't making assumptions. I know what I'm going to get out of him. I know what I'm going to get out of the Bucs based on what I've seen and, again, the players that are returning. So I don't know what I'm going to get out of Matt Stafford and the Rams. I don't know what I'm going to get out of Mac Jones. Like, I love the Patriots team. I have no idea what the record's going to be because I don't know who Mac Jones is as a quarterback. And anyone who pretends that they do, it's just bullshitting you and BSing you. Sorry, folks. You know what
I'm saying? Well, the thing about Mac, absolutely, because the situation Mac Jones is in is the Patriots are going to play a lot of close games, I would assume. They're going to run the football, play good defense, good special teams, all of that stuff. The thing that made Brady was throughout his entire stay with the Patriots, he won most of those close games, whether it be a late drive, right, for a game-winning field goal or a game-winning touchdown, or if they had to lead the four-minute offense, how many times have we seen Tom Brady kneeling down?
So on the final three plays,
game over. Yeah, all the time, right, whether it be the shadow of his goal line or wherever else. So those are the types of things that you – the final 5 minutes of a game, the first 55 minutes, you know, whatever, the final 5 minutes is where you see, okay, this is the guy that's going to win these close games. And that's what Brady, that's what really cements him as the greatest quarterback of all time. In those moments, that's where he actually plays better than he does in the first 55 minutes, which, again, doesn't make much sense, but he's Tom Brady. So that's the part that we're going to have to find out about Mac Jones. Mac Jones not playing any close games last year at Alabama.
Yeah.
He never trailed. So it was like, which is great. And again, I think it's a downgrade as receivers he has this year as compared to last year. And again, I'm not being hyperbolic. Alabama is incredible. But yeah, I have high hopes for him. I think he's going to take care of the football, which is important. And the Patriots throughout this entire running, and we can both agree, have done the best job of not losing games. Aren't they the poker player that's always in on the hand? Like they won't take a hit after 12.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Once they hit 12, they're in the hand all the time. Like they're never gonna bounce out. So that's kind of the way they play. And if he's good for that, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm not saying one way or the other. I think he's going to be bad. You think he's going to be good? I just don't know.
I gotta see
with my own eyes, because, you know, throwing a stat sheet in front of me and giving me some arbitrary grades isn't gonna convince me of anything. As I've said before, right. I almost called you Mike. As I've said before, John, I don't, the stats are for losers, and if you're relying solely on a data sheet to tell you how a player's going to play, first of all, I mean, trust me, if you could predict the future, then, you know, you need to get out of the sports predicting business and start, you know, going to the casino a little bit more often.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm going to base it on what I see. So I have a lot of hopes for this Patriots team. I think they're talented defensively. I think they have far more talent on offense. I just got to see what I got to see from Mac Jones. And right now, it's a big uncertainty. I know what I'm getting from Tom Brady. So we're going to have to say goodbye. Tune in later tonight, though. We're kicking off this new season of FPC NFL Sunday, obviously on a Thursday, but we're going to get together at about 6:30 tonight here, right here, well, actually on Full Press NFL on Twitter, and we're going to preview tonight's game as well, and have some fun doing it. So give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I'm at IGLEN31, and you can follow John at John Sapp 25. Join us tomorrow. Real quick, John, you're taking the Bucks tonight, right?
Yeah, I think Dallas is going to keep it close, though. A backdoor cover. How's that sound? The line is up to 9.
Yeah.
So I could see the Bucks being up, 34 to 20 with a minute and a half left, and Dak gets a backdoor cover, and it ends up being, 34-27.
Okay.
Not a close game, but maybe they cover. I've lost a lot of those bets in the past, though.
Well, let's
I want to be on the right side of those.
I was going to say, let's hope that you win big tonight. But no, I got the
I
Bucks
don't bet
as well,
anymore,
so.
But that's okay. Yeah, the Bucks should win this.
But
game,
Bucks tonight, we'll give our picks for the rest of the weekend tomorrow.
Yep.
So give us a follow then, and join us tomorrow at 9:00. Have a good one, folks.